have the New International Version. I think it's going to pop up on the screen behind me. Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 to 35. It's a couple of weeks before Easter. And whenever I think of Easter, I think of, obviously, what Christ has done for us. But I also think of the preamble to Easter, all the stuff that happened the weeks before. And this is one of those stories that we want to look at today. Matthew chapter 26, verse 30. So when they'd sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will fall away on account of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all or if everyone fall away on account of you, I will never fall away. I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same or the same thing. Well, you know, this scene that we're presented here and some of what we watched in the DVD, this is in verse 31, one of the verses, we see that this is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, just after Jesus and the disciples partook of the Last Supper before his death. And Jesus predicts that Peter, in fact, all the disciples are going to fall away from him. They're going to fall away and deny him, deny even knowing him that very day. And I don't know about you, but when I think of this scene and we think of it and we often look back and think, oh yeah, if it would have been me, I would have made it. I wouldn't have denied him. I would have just, you know, did my thing for Jesus and I would have been there. But I'm not sure that that would be the case in that particular situation. Can you imagine the disciples' reaction when he said this to them? They had been with Jesus for over 3 years up to this point. He had been their teacher, their rabbi. They had been discipled by him. They'd been taught by him. They were on mission with Jesus for 3 years. They'd witnessed so many incredible miracles fulfilling the Old Testament scripture. The disciples were on a high, like Mickey talked about a while ago. They were with a friend who was closer than a brother in their lives. And then Jesus drops the bomb on their lives. He boldly declares, "Your love for me is going to be tested, guys. Your enthusiasm for me will disintegrate. In fact, this very night, all of you will say that you don't even know me." And we saw that depicted in the scene on the DVD. And Peter, you're not going to deny me just once, but you're going to do it three times. Imagine how you'd feel if Jesus told you that after being with him for 3 years in that situation. Well, you know, Peter's response is as predictable as human nature in verse 33. He basically says, "I will never deny you, Jesus. Even if everybody else falls away from you, there's no chance that I'm going to deny you." Peter is so self-confident, he boldly predicts that he'll never, never, never forsake his Lord. And in verse 34, we see Jesus' response to Peter. And Jesus basically says, "Peter, I appreciate your zeal for me and the fact that you think you'll never be swayed, but I tell you the truth, you're going to deny me three times tonight." We see Peter's response again in Mark 14:31. He insisted emphatically, "Even if I have to die for you, I'll never disown you." And it wasn't just Peter, it was the other disciples as well. Well, fast forward a tiny bit to what took place next, Gethsemane. And if you look in Mark chapter 14, verses 27 to 37, we'll read that. Mark chapter 14, verses 27 to 37. If I can find it. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." Do I have the right verse there? Starting with verse 32. "They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' He took Peter, James, and John along with them, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that, if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Well, we see that he's calling his disciples to be with him there at his most difficult hour. In Mark 14:32, I believe, it says that he takes Peter and James and John with him. And he says to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And then in Mark 14:34, he goes on, my soul is overwhelmed in agony to the point of death. My friends, brothers, in other words, brothers, stay here and keep watch. And then a couple of verses later, in verses 35 and 36, he goes off and prays, and we really see Jesus' humanity at this point probably more clearly than any other point in Scripture. He's in agony. Father, I only want your will, but I don't need to go. But if I don't need to go through this, then don't let me die on the cross. But he says in that statement, I'm willing to die and do your will if that's what it takes. And then in Mark 14:37, Jesus comes back to the garden and he finds his disciples sleeping. You know, we could look at that and say, hey, I wouldn't be sleeping if I was in that situation. But I can guarantee you that all of us would probably have done the same thing. You know, we often look at these scriptures and say, if that was only me, I never would have denied my Lord like Peter did. Christian brothers and sisters, every one of us denies Christ in our lives, often without even realizing it. Every one of us walks away from Jesus and what he desires of us regularly. Every one of us forsakes our Lord. Every one of us falls asleep from time to time while on duty for Jesus. If we believe otherwise, we're seriously deluded or we're spiritually blind. Our zeal, our stamina for the Lord, no matter how mature we feel we are, will always let us down during life's darkest and most difficult hours. And friends, this past week, as I know my wife and I have been praying about certain situations and other people as well, about some of the situations I mentioned at the beginning, sometimes we feel that very strongly. Lord, if we could only just keep praying and you got to work and we keep going, but we do get to the point where we sometimes feel that God isn't there in these situations. That's what took place in the garden with the disciples, and it happens with you and I. How do you and I deny Christ in our lives? Well, I think there's so many ways that we do this that we don't even realize the number, but we briefly today want to look at 5 ways. First of all, and it was mentioned earlier, Mickey actually sharing at the end of the song or at the end of the worship mentioned this, we often deny Christ by our actions in life. Titus 1 verse 16 says, they claim to know God, but by their actions they deny him. And then it goes on afterwards, but we'll leave it at that. When our actions fail to measure up to our claims as Christians, we're denying Christ in us, the hope of glory in our lives. We can claim to be a friend of Jesus, but if our lives fail to reveal his love, his fruit, or his grace, Corinthians says we're nothing more than a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Hopefully, none of our lives resemble the kind of gong show that Paul talks about in terms of our actions. But our actions, friends, do show our true colors in life. Galatians 5:6 puts it this way, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And I often think of that verse in the midst of life circumstances, that how we need faith to go through the things that we're called to go through. And that's the only thing that counts, is faith expressing itself in love. The question you and I must constantly ask ourselves is this: am I denying Christ by my actions? If the actions of our lives aren't motivated by the love of Jesus Christ, friends, we need to examine our hearts and ask the Holy Spirit to change them. It's the only way they're going to change, and the only way that we can really follow Christ and not deny him with our actions. Secondly, we deny Jesus by giving in to our sinful desires. You know, Mickey again alluded to that when he was talking about our carnal nature. 1 John 3, verses 15 to 17 says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." You know, yesterday in Mark's opening address at the AGM of Haiti Arise in a church in East Calgary, he mentioned the statement about evangelical Christianity, and he was talking about basically the amount of money that's available in our Western world and what we spend it on in various areas. And it was just staggering, some of the stuff he quoted. But this thing stood out to me the most. He said that in evangelical churches in North America, right now, the average giving is only 2.5% in terms of tithes. 2.5%. And that's in the evangelical church. That's not, all the other churches that we consider mainline. That's the evangelical church. And that figure just staggered me. If the Church of Jesus Christ could give 10%, of what the Bible tells us we should be giving, if the whole Church of North America could do that, all the problems in our world in terms of poverty, in terms of these things would cease. But friends, we spend so much more on other stuff, and we all know that, and we're all guilty of that, and we have to examine our own lives in terms of that. We wrestle with our worldly carnal desires daily. But do we realize every time we give in to those worldly carnal desires, we're giving in to Satan and we're denying Jesus Christ? We deny Jesus his rightful place as King, as Lord of our lives, when we love the world and the things of the world more than Christ. And friends, I'm with you on this one. This is a daily battle for all of us. I'm not saying that I've got it solved and I don't go through this. We all do. We deny Jesus and his rightful place as King and Lord of our lives when, secondly, the cravings of the sinful man get the best of us. And thirdly, even when lusting after other stuff takes our focus away from Jesus, we're denying Jesus Christ. Finally, we deny Jesus when we boast about our possessions. Friends, whenever the focus of our lives becomes the things of this world over Jesus, we've got a serious problem as Christ followers. Our focus always must be to do the will of God in our lives. Jesus said to Philip, "Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing," in John 14, verse 12. He says to his disciples a couple of verses later in verse 15, "If you love me, you will obey what I command you." And then in John 4, verse 34, he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." Did you know that every person in here, if you are a Christ follower, God has given you a task to do, and something that you're supposed to finish in this lifetime, whatever that is, could be related to sharing the gospel with your friends. It could be prayer. It could be doing something with the resources that he gives you. But if we don't do that, then we're failing him. We're denying him. Thirdly, we deny Christ when we don't deny ourselves. Then he, Jesus, said to all of them, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and daily follow me. You know, we often think of that verse, and I've often thought, you know, the follow me part, sometimes I miss the daily part. It says daily there. We're supposed to follow him daily. And I think that's the part we often struggle with. What does it mean for you and I to truly deny ourselves? It means that we are truly in the practice of daily putting aside the things of the world, our wants and our desires and our sinful nature, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of Jesus Christ. It means that we daily take up our cross. Jesus was willing to carry his cross to the place of the crucifixion on our behalf and then to die on it. Shouldn't you and I be willing to carry the cross of denying ourselves until the day that we stand face to face with Jesus for eternity? Denying our self-centered desires and lusts for this life seems such a small price to pay. Are you willing to take up your cross daily for Jesus Christ? Fourthly, we deny Jesus Christ by denying the power of the Holy Spirit within us. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 and 5 says that in the last days, people will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness and denying its power. And friends, we don't have to look very far to see that happening in our world. We see this attitude being expressed all around us all the time. In Acts after Pentecost, Peter, who was born again, preached the following: repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. But Peter didn't stop there. He went on in the next couple of verses and he said, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you. And he goes on to say it's for you and it's for your children and it's for next generations and all of that. When we reach the place of becoming so self-centered that it's all about me and all about us and deny the power of God's Spirit to work in us and through us, friends, we do what the Bible refers to as grieving the Holy Spirit and what God wants to accomplish in our world for the sake of his kingdom. God has put his seal on you and I in the person of the Holy Spirit if we have come to Christ, if we truly are born again. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 21 and 22 says he anointed us. He put his seal of ownership on us, and he put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. If God has put his Spirit in our hearts, why would we risk denying his power by grieving him? John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39 says, on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow out from him. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believe in him were later to receive. Friends, if we are living lives that are vitally impacting others, if we're living lives where we're not denying Jesus Christ, it says that streams of living water should be flowing out from us. Not just little trickles, but streams, and in fact, rivers of living life. I sure know that's not the case in my life from time to time. This can't occur if we grieve the Spirit and don't allow those streams to flow out from us to touch the world for Jesus. And the question you and I need to ask ourselves is this: are we denying Christ today by denying his power in the person of the Holy Spirit to be living water flowing out from us? Let's not deny Christ's presence in our lives by grieving the Holy Spirit. Finally, whenever we deny Jesus Christ, we deny the Father. 1 John 3:23 and 24 says, who is the liar? It's the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. If you are here today and you have never acknowledged that Jesus Christ is God, I implore you to give your life to him today. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And then in earlier on in Acts, in chapter 2, 38, it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. Every one of us in this building today can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we can be born again and have his Spirit living within us. What an incredible Easter season this would be, and an incredible Easter gift it would be for anyone who is here today who may have denied the reality of Jesus Christ in their life up until this time to believe on him as your Savior and Lord. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, Jesus said. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow out from him. As we conclude today, I just want to give you two invitations to think about. You might be here today and you have been a Christ follower for years. Friends, we need to ask ourselves the following questions today. Lord, is there any area in my life that I haven't surrendered fully to you? Am I denying your power and grieving your Holy Spirit by not allowing your streams of living water to flow in and through me today? And secondly, if you're here today and you're not a Christ follower, you need to ask yourself this question. Am I denying that Jesus is the Christ, the God-man who died on the cross for my sins and rose again the third day to give me life everlasting? The Bible clearly says that no one who denies the Son has the Father. If you're not a Christ follower, you need to come to Jesus today. And I hope and pray that if there's anyone in that boat today, that you talk to somebody that you know is a Christian to be able to know how to come to Jesus and what you can do to pray to that end. Friends, let's not be people who deny Jesus Christ. As the title says, never in a million years. Let's just pray as Mickey and the team comes forward. Father, it's so easy to get wrapped up in the things of this world. It's so easy to get wrapped up in everything that's happening in our lives and the stuff that's going on. And Lord, to deny you by virtue of just not even thinking about you. Father, my prayer for each and every person here this morning and during this Easter season and during the rest of our lives is that we would be people who don't deny you. We would be people who seek after you. We would be people who are filled with your Holy Spirit, that living rivers of living water are coming from our very being and affecting other people in our community and in our world for Jesus Christ. Father, may we not be people who deny you. I pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen.